Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, the GAA is hoping for a 5th of April return to inter-county activity if the country moves to level 4 after no change to elite status under the government's Living with COVID plan was announced yesterday. And I'm joined on the line by GAA President John Horan. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks very much for joining us. I don't think you were surprised that there was nothing there for inter-county play yesterday, would I be right?
No, we didn't get a surprise yesterday. In fairness to the Minister, Jack Chambers, when we discussed matters with him over 2 weeks ago, he indicated to us that that was the likely outcome. We called our COVID committee together, and that's why we issued a press release to the membership to say that possibly the 5th of April was the next most likely date that to be a change for sport in the country, and that's when we felt that we probably would be coming back then. So no, there was no surprise.
Now, what a lot of people, though, are very concerned about is the underage training, the fact that that won't be returning. And in fact, when we spoke to Tomás O'Shea and Oisín McConville on this programme about the inter-county games, they were really quick to bring it back to that. And I see some commentary in the papers today saying that really is the big loss here.
Yeah, look, we'd be really pleased if we could get the juveniles back. But I think you've got to look at it in its context. Like, the government are only bringing schools back in a staggered manner. And like, it's only 300,000 returning. And then the next phase will be on March the 15th. And I think they want to get that right. And they want to assess the actual impact of that return in society and on the virus. So I can understand where they're coming from. We've made strong representation that we felt confident that we could bring the juveniles back and that we could do it safely. We did it before Christmas, right up, you know, with level 5. But, you know, the numbers that we had coming back there were considerable when you look at, like, 145,000 young people actually did our WhatsApp return to play questionnaire in that time. So that would be a large movement of people if they did come back. And I think the government have taken that into account. No, we'd love to have the juveniles back. I'm a parent of two young lads, one in college and one in school. I can see the impact. I would be delighted to see them being able to engage in their sport and activity. But look, we have to work within the guidelines that the government lay out for us, and NPHET have looked at this. But I'd be hopeful come the 5th, if we get the inter-county back, that we'll also get the juvenile back and that schools will be in full operation.
All right, and that would be good news. But going back then to the headache of the timetable that you have to work out here, you need a 4-week pre-season if you're back on the 5th of April, which means that May would be the earliest time that the league would be able to begin.
Yeah, that's the case, Claire, yeah. But, like, we're confident that we can actually get a full games programme into that time frame. Like, you saw last year, we were very flexible in how we got it through, but we got it through a full club programme. We completed the leagues and we actually got the inter-county championship played. And, like, if we got going in May in comparison to last year, it was towards the end of July that we actually got started. I'd be confident that, no, we will get a games programme in place and that we will actually get all the activities completed.
And are you hopeful that you'll get the full National League, the club programme and the All-Ireland Championship done over that time frame?
Yeah, well, this year's plan for the National League is a scaled-back version. Normally, you have 8 teams in the Division 1, but this year we've had 2 Division 1 groups, 1A and 1B. So there's only 4 teams in each group, and that's 3 games, semi-final and final. So the total number of games required there will be 5 games as against 8 in the normal. So that's 3 weeks saved there. But as I said to you, we'd have that extra time period from May until July that we didn't have last year. So, no, I'm quite confident that a games programme will be there to do National League, a full club programme and also inter-county championships.
I was reading Colm Key's analysis today and he says the choice now remains to spike the league, move straight to the championship or split the inter-county season either side of a 14-15 week club window over the summer.
Yeah, they're the permutations we're going to have to look at. And like, what will influence them is how we move down through the levels. Obviously, the first level that will come back for us will be inter-county. And it's then, how long will it be before the actual club gets back into full flow? So it's based on that. And it'll be a bit presumptuous for me at the moment to give you a definite on that. But look, that can be looked at. There is flexibility, I think, as Colm highlighted to you. There is movement within the actual arrangement. But people can be confident and be positive. The GAA will be back. And we will get through all our programme.
OK, if you had to drop any one of the campaigns, would it be the club championship that would have to go?
No. The club championships in the county are key. I think everybody realised last year how important the club activity was for us and also that we made a decision to bring the clubs back first before the inter-county. And that gave the clubs the opportunity during the good weather in the summer to be out on the actual pitches and people. If you were to push the club campaign too late into the year, you possibly would have difficulties with pitches and floodlighting and that. So no, club is key to it all. 98% of our players are club. Only 2% are the inter-county. So, and those 2% actually play with their club. So club is key to this organisation. I think that's been proven.
So
in the
you're pretty sure here, John, you know, if you can get up and going on the 5th of April, that you'll get it all done.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's one positive message I want to get out there to everybody. The GAA will function, and it will function fully if we can get going with our inter-county games on the 5th of May.
Is it frustrating at all, though, not to have a clear roadmap? Because we've heard other sectors saying, look, what we didn't get from this plan yesterday was a clear plan out.
I think the government have adopted a different strategy too at this time. I think they're not going to give dates because they're a bit concerned with the variants coming into the country that these dates may not be reached. But I think they're going to be very much driven by data. But the one thing I get very clearly from engagement with government, and I mean, I have to say, Taoiseach Tánaiste and Minister for Sport, Jack Chambers, have all been more than available and cooperative to us in all of this. But I think their philosophy now is that we're going to come out of this, and this is going to be the last coming out of it, that their intention is not to revert back up levels, that at every stage they go, they're going to go steady and carefully and make sure that when we come out of it with the benefit of the vaccine and the decreasing numbers, that the country will just emerge out of this towards the end of the year.
Of course, when you do get back to these games, particularly the big ones, you'll still be missing the spectators, the paying spectators, more importantly.
Well, that's a factor, but like if you look at it, and Britain are somewhat ahead of us in terms of the virus and the vaccine because of the benefits they've had from their vaccination rollout. But I think towards the latter end of the year in our bigger stadia, I think we will see some crowds returning. I think they won't be packing Croke Park with 82,000. But like we have done it already in terms of working out numbers in terms of social distancing of 1 metre and 2 metres as to how many spectators we can get into Croke Park. And we'd be capable of doing that for our other big stadia. So what would actually probably happen is you probably find that the bigger games will be played in the bigger stadia so that we can actually facilitate bringing back spectators. Because I'd be quite honest, having sat isolated and lonely in Croke Park for all our employment, it's not what you want. And, you know, not to have someone to talk to and not to have the banter and whatever from the supporters, it definitely was missing. I know the players didn't fully, whilst they enjoyed the actual getting to play the competitions, they did miss the spectators as well. It did create a different dynamic, though. You heard what the managers and people on the sidelines were shouting out onto the pitch and whatever, and that was an exercise that I hadn't gone through before, no.
There's also the money side of it, John, as well. I mean, it had serious implications for the organisation.
Yeah, we've been stretched financially, but like we're big and we're strong and we're robust. And like, you know, in the short term, if we have to, you know, go and borrow money, be it from the government or whatever, we're strong enough to do that. Our record would be good. And I think once crowds come back, we'll be able to get ourselves back up on a strong footing financially. So finance is very important, but I don't think it should be an impediment to us keeping going.
What happens if the North is given the go ahead sooner than the Republic? How do you manage that?
We've looked at that possibility, but the only thing in terms of the North is that, you know, the overlap between the North and the South in terms of competitions would be particularly at inter-county level. And if we get inter-county level back up on the 5th of April, I think that will match what will be the progress in the North. So I think we will be able to drive on with the programme on the 5th of May.
And if it doesn't match up?
I'd be confident it will. If it doesn't, well, then we'd have to get our thinking caps on and be a little bit more flexible in the whole thing, because we've said from the very beginning that, you know, we were never going to leave the North behind, and we would also have a similar view, the North are not going to leave the South behind. We are a 32-county organisation, and we value that, and we will work together between both jurisdictions to make sure that it comes together for us.
Now, you've written to the Minister for Sports and Media, Catherine Martin, asking her not to designate any more of your matches as free to air. Are you looking at the likes of Amazon Prime for any future broadcasting deal?
Well, the commercial director in Croke Park referenced that, Peter McKenna, at the annual report, and I'm quite sure he is going to renegotiate the media rights for the association in the next 12 months, and I'm quite sure he'll look at all options. And I know he put that out there, but it's not for me to negotiate on the public airwaves as to what's actually going to happen. But I'm quite sure everything will be explored. But people don't have to get worried. There will be a continuum of plenty of games going out on the normal free-to-air channels.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, you wrote the letter, you know, asking her not to designate any more of the matches free-to-air. So what I'm just trying to get a sense of is why you would say that.
Well, the reason for that is that we don't want to be restricted. Like, we got great cooperation this year, in fairness, from Sky, RT and GGA Cahir in actually distributing the games. But, like, you know, there are benefits to the media rights of our games, and those benefits are fed back into the organisation throughout the membership. Like, over 80% of our funds generated in a year are redistributed through the organisation, be it through coaching, be it through grants for clubs and county boards to develop their infrastructure projects. So it's not a case of us trying to exclude people, but it isn't a case of us putting a reasonable and correct value on what we actually have. And no, people don't have to get worried out there. Headlines will always carry it in a certain way. It's not our intention to start putting a whole lot more games behind the paywall. No.
Now, I know we touched on the deficit, and you said that you're a robust organisation, but because you feed everything back into the grassroots, as you said, will the grassroots suffer as a result of what the year you've just had?
It's a challenge for them in the short term, but like, we redistributed some of the government funding back down into the clubs in terms of insurance, and the clubs have been very creative themselves in terms of their own fundraising structures, in terms of, you know, marathons and all sorts of other activities, bingo and whatnot, among their club members. So clubs are resilient, and clubs, a lot of our clubs were in very good shape before this pandemic hit us. So they've had that resilience to help them get over this period. And I'm quite sure come 2022, we'll be back up on the road and the clubs will re-emerge quickly.
Now, you're finishing up this weekend, isn't that right?
Yeah, I finish on Saturday.
How do you look back on your term? I know player pathway all the way up from under 13, the whole way up to through the GAA was something that you wanted to focus on. Did you feel that you made progress there?
Oh, absolutely. I think the work done by Michael Dempsey and his committee and the impact it's having already in the last 12 months, that was launched 12 months ago, and the impact it's had in the last 12 months in changing things has been very, very positive. I think it will take more time, but it's something I will look back on with pleasure to see that change. I suppose it came from my background as being a coach and a school teacher in terms of treating children in a manner that they should always get a positive benefit from their activities in sport and not go away feeling that, you know, they failed or it wasn't a success for them. But I think it's a change in a mindset that elitism has no place in underage sport.
Mm-hmm. And what damage do you think that is doing?
Well, like, I mean, you know, just put yourself back as a teenager, or any of us back as a teenager. If you were deemed a failure and, you know, consigned that you didn't, you know, make it, like, and then you walk away from it and you give up sporting activity, I think that's a poor reflection on the setup that you were in. And unfortunately, like, there are inter-county academy squads and minor teams and under 20 teams, and it's an aspiration for a lot of young kids to actually make it to that level. But, like, you know, if they don't, how do you let them down gently? How do you support them? And those were the key things that I felt should be brought on board in terms of how you actually get that message across to someone that you haven't reached the top level, but sport is still there for you. The benefits are there from you from a mental and a health point of view, but also particularly, and one thing that I gained, I suppose, over the last 3 years as being president of the organisation was the friendship.
Now, the Congress happening this weekend, when you will hand over to Liam McCarthy, one of the topics up for discussion is how the GAA protects players with head injuries. And that is something which is very topical. And I see today one commentator saying that you're way behind other sporting organisations in this regard.
Yeah, but I think Saturday will bring us up, you know, close to it. And I think, you know, we're very conscious of that issue needing to be addressed. And I think the motion on Saturday will bring that forward, and I think we'll close that gap considerably. So now, whilst we may not have seen it as, you know, something that we were dealing with, but I think going forward it will be dealt with. And, you know, head injuries in GAA are not as significant as maybe in other sports.
And Larry McCarthy, of course, is taking over, I should have said, not Liam. President Larry McCarthy, as he will be, New York GAA, he'll have a tough term ahead of him.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging, but Larry has long experience within the GAA. He's been around, he knows the game, and he has the capabilities of continuing the work. And I'd have to say that, without a doubt, the COVID Advisory Committee and the staff in Croke Park were huge assets to dealing with all the problems in the last 12 months. And the work down through the provincial and the county boards and the clubs, like, the people we have working in our organisation are hugely committed and capable. And Larry will have all those supports in place. And I think
hopefully people will see no change whatsoever, and I'd expect them to see no change other than just a different face, but the same success from the organisation.
Okay, I just have a text in here from a listener who would like to know what will happen if counties in the north are allowed to train earlier than counties in the Republic. Would that give them a competitive advantage?
The obvious answer
it would.
To that is yes, it would, but I suppose it will be feeding into the league more so than the championship. But look, people talk in terms of the return to play and the four-year training. Like, inter-county players are at such a high level of personal responsibility and competence that they work on a curve, and the dip in their curve in their off-season isn't that great. So when they actually work their way back into it, all they have to do is restore their curve up to a particular level. And you know, they'll be working on that on an individual basis at the moment. So I wouldn't see the dip in the curve of our interplayer, county players being great.
Yeah, I suppose it's just playing as a team, you know, there might be a bit of an edge there.
Yeah. Well, there will be a minor edge. But look, that can be closed quick enough, I feel, you know.
John, thanks very much for talking to us. And we wish you well coming to the end of your reign as GAA president on Saturday at Congress. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks very much.
Coming up next on the programme, we're going to be talking about how much ventilation we need in the classroom from Monday.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.